My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his reaction on Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's Likud party winning a much bigger victory than expected. In fact, a lot of people didn't even expect them to win at all, and it looks like Netanyahu might even have a more conservative ruling coalition than he had in the current government. And Mr. Bolton, thank you very much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me. Glad to be with you.
There are all these polls suggesting all the momentum was with Labor and their emerging coalition. Netanyahu was considered to be desperate by many when he, at the very last minute, said he would now oppose a Palestinian state. In the end, he not only won and Likud won, but won quite comfortably. Why?
Well, I think the Israeli people still fundamentally see security issues as the most important that they face as a country and a people. The campaign had been dominated by domestic economic issues, and there was a lot of criticism of Netanyahu that he had not carried through on market-oriented reforms that he said in his last campaign would be a priority. But it turned out, I think, when people really thought of the consequences of replacing him, they realized that there just isn't anybody in the Israeli political scene who can do the job that Netanyahu can on these vital security issues, so that they returned to him. And it was obviously something that took our White House completely by surprise, and a lot of other people who were out busy burying Netanyahu politically before the results actually came in.
It's pretty clear that this administration does not like Prime Minister Netanyahu. There are stories, of course, about White House political operatives going over there to try and influence the outcome, perhaps even some taxpayer money involved as well. So how does this result impact the Obama administration and, in particular, their calculus on Iran?
Well, I think it's a stinging political defeat for the president and those who wanted to get rid of Netanyahu. They were making the mistake of counting their chickens before they hatched in the run up to the election, and now all that's changed. I think it could have an impact on the negotiations, because the Iranian negotiators they're not worried about the United States. They're worried about Bibi Netanyahu, and now he's back for another term. He will, barring some major political earthquake in Israel, he'll outlast Obama. So that the issues over the Perm 5 negotiations with Iran, I think, really take a different perspective now. And I think also Iran has to worry that a newly reelected Netanyahu, with a solid win in this election, is on a much firmer base if he decides to use military force against the Iranian nuclear weapons program, as Israel has twice before done in its history against nuclear weapons programs in the hands of hostile states. So I think we're now actually the most significant outcome is that we're closer to a decision one way or the other whether Israel is going to use force.
Mr. Ambassador, just before we started this conversation, you tweeted out congratulations to Prime Minister Netanyahu. To this point, while he's gotten plenty of congratulations from around the world, the only ones he's gotten from the United States have apparently come through Secretary of State Kerry rather than the president. And some folks are pointing out he's congratulated folks like Erdogan in Turkey and even the new leader in Iran. So should we read anything into that?
Yes, I think the president can't stand Bibi Netanyahu. I personally don't think he can stand Israel while we're on the subject. But not congratulating a democratically elected leader in a close ally of the United States, I just think is amateurish. It's not professional. It's not presidential. It's just petty. And so I think the president ought to get over it and at least send out a tweet.
Mr. Ambassador, you talked about the differences on security issues between Netanyahu, that he could take a different approach and have a different standing than anyone else in Israel. What would a Labor Party win have meant, and perhaps specifically with Mr. Herzog as prime minister?
Well, I don't think there's any disagreement in Israel about the threat that an Iranian nuclear weapon would have, but I do think there'd be a much greater willingness to follow Barack Obama's lead, much closer views on creating a Palestinian state. And I think, therefore, the ability of Barack Obama to pressure a Herzog or Livni government not to act militarily against Iran would have been overwhelming. Whereas now, I think he has essentially zero influence on Bibi Netanyahu. Again, I don't know what the Israelis will do with respect to the Iranian program, but I think now that decision rests entirely with the Israelis. I think Obama's really petulant attitude and hostility means he has next to no influence over Netanyahu.
One of the things we saw yesterday, Mr. Ambassador, was concern from Netanyahu supporters that the Arab turnout in Israel was quite high. Was it wrong to assume that most of that would go towards labor, or are the concerns that we've seen about a potential nuclear Iran from folks in Saudi Arabia, Jordan, and now Egypt suggest that that vote might not have been as lopsided as folks initially thought?
Well, I don't think we know at this point where the Arab vote really went. We do know that the traditional Arab parties perform very well on a joint list. It looks like 13 or 14 seats in the Knesset. What we don't know, at least I haven't seen publicly yet, is how much of the Arab vote went not to the Arab parties but to labor. And I think that would mark a real divergence from practice in the past. But, you know, the Arab turnout was high, as was turnout all over Israel. And so you can't say that there was a lack of interest or people's votes were suppressed or anything like that. Clearly, everybody who wanted to vote did vote, and Netanyahu still won 25% of the seats in the parliament.
Mr. Ambassador, you've been concerned at various times, and I'm guessing you still are, that if, in fact, Iran gets a favorable deal with the United States, that it could trigger a nuclear race throughout the region. Now that Netanyahu appears to have won and will probably set up a government without too much trouble here, does that dramatically reduce the risk of that, or is that only one factor of many that could potentially determine whether that's the case?
Well, I think actually the risk of a nuclear arms race in the Middle East was increased by these very negotiations with Iran. You know, my view had been that Saudi Arabia, Turkey, Egypt, and perhaps others would not act to get their own nuclear weapons until there was some palpable demonstration that Iran itself already had a weapon, like a test, if they, as North Korea has done, if they were to test the nuclear device. I think the weakness that Obama has shown over these past several years in his desperate efforts to get a deal with Iran finally convinced the likes of Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Turkey that the United States was simply not going to do anything effective to stop Iran, so that they concluded the act of negotiation itself helped convince the Saudis and others that they had to look out for their own interests. So I think the negotiations and the possible deal have actually accelerated the nuclear arms race in the Middle East.
Last question before we let you go. Three huge dates this month on this story. First, the Netanyahu speech to Congress, then yesterday's elections in Israel, and of course the deadline for the U.S.-Iranian negotiations. Given all that we know now to this point, what do you expect to happen by the end of the month with those negotiations?
Well, I think Iran has a wonderful deal from the Obama negotiators. I'm always surprised that I wake up and find they haven't signed it the day before. So I think the most likely outcome is that by the end of the month we see, and remember, this will just be an agreement in principle according to the schedule that was laid out last year. But I think it's also possible the administration is so desperate for a deal that if we get to the end of March and they're not in sight of it, they will nonetheless say we're going to keep negotiating because we're getting close. That's the sign of somebody who's just willing to make more concessions, and I think that's exactly how Iran will read it.
We'll certainly be watching. And Mr. Ambassador, thank you very much for your time and insight.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, now with the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.